Tonight's podcast is brought to you by MacWeldon.com, the finest clothing establishment online, and as well as Kickapoo. Go to drinkkickapoo.com for the greatest drink of all time. These are our sponsors. Now the show begins. Thank you.
The reason I'm dressed like this is because I'm prepared for the future. It is, as of right now, April 30th, 2017. If you still have a dildo up your ass about smoking weed and 420, delete me. Just straight up delete me. Okay?
Delete this show.
Delete it. Take me off your internet feed.
Every list.
I don't want to know you. I don't want to associate with you. I don't want you to know that I exist.
Yep.
Straight up delete me, bro.
I just want to chime in on that note here. If you still think the Electoral College is a good idea, you know what? Just delete me. Just delete all of us. You know what? I don't know you. You don't know me. If you still support Lenny Kravitz, too, after his what he did when he exposed himself, which, by the way, there were kids there. If you still support him and you're still a Krav fan, delete me. Delete me, and I don't even want to know you. I don't give a fuck of your family.
And if you think that the fucking moon landing is real, then fucking delete me. It's propaganda, you fucking idiots.
We don't want to know you. We don't want to associate with you. We don't want to know. If you voted for Trump, you probably did. We don't want to know it. Delete me.
If you voted at all in the election, delete me. Because you know what? That's a broken system.
Fucking contributed to it.
If you believe in the fucking broken system, then delete me.
If you're one of these fucking SJ people, social justice people, then you're always saying I do stuff and you don't like it, delete me.
You know what? If you ever worn clothes, just delete me.
If you think that Kendrick Lamar is a better rapper than Sugar Ray, delete me.
Yeah, listen to When It's Over. Fuckhead. Fuckhead.
And if you're not going to stick around and listen to the rest of this fucking podcast, delete us all. Theme song.
And when it's over, that's the time you're in my heart again. And when you go, 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 I know it never ends, never ends. All the things that I used to say, all the words that got in the way, all the things that I used to know have gone out the window. All the things that she used to bring.
We're back.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the number one video game podcast on the internet. I like to do this every week because we're real popular. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah. Oh,
we're taking over the internet. We're getting new fans day and night, left and right.
Every day.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, welcome. I'm Derek, here with Rocco and Sean, the Mega 64 podcast.
That's right. Every now and then we like to reacquaint people to what we do and who we are. So that's why on those episodes, we trim the fat, you know. Garrett's going to be talking about, airsoft, whatever. So he's out this week. And then Eric is, you know, he's always popping in. Eric, you know, always likes to chime in and go, yes, 100%. You know, I don't need to hear that stat every week. So he's out.
Can we disable the camera that Eric, I don't know why we're the hosts of the Mega 64 podcast and we have to share a camera that sits about 10 feet away from us.
Yeah.
Well, Eric is just the side guy and has a camera 6 inches from his face that he can cut to at any time. That's not fair.
Well, there are times, Derek, I want you to know this, that there are times that Eric cuts to his face to have a disapproving look or whatever. And it's real fucking rude. And sometimes I just cover it up with the graphic when I
edit
the podcast so no one knows that he did that.
Hell yeah.
Because he's showing, I don't need his reaction.
So
I already know he hates everything I like.
Yeah, he's hijacking the live show, but luckily the edited podcast is still preserved.
It's perfect.
And I want to give a shout out. Tonight we got running the show, our good friend Kevin is running the show. Don't cut to yourself. Don't cut to yourself.
I'll cover that shit up so fast, Kevin. I'll cover that shit up.
Sean's going to cut to a Yosemite wallpaper.
I will, because I need excuses to do that. Thank you.
I want to give a shout out because, you know, today we're recording this on a Sunday. It's April 30th. When this goes up on Tuesday, it'll be what? April, what, 2nd?
That, or May 2nd?
We're not going back in time.
We're not going back, bro.
Rewind. Anyway, it's going to be Kevin's birthday.
Roses are red, but that's what they say when this podcast goes out on Tuesday.
Cut to Justin Timberlake. It's his face.
Okay,
that's right.
And everyone, you guys know what you were talking about. But anyway, it's going to be Kevin's birthday. Happy birthday, Kevin. He's been doing a great job. We're going to have a shout out to him. We're going to compare and contrast how he did tonight versus how Eric does.
Yeah.
Okay. And we may pit them against each other and end that friendship.
It is Kevin's birthday, and do you know how I know that? Because I remember off works, and I remember for a fact that Kevin's birthday is May 1st. I will never forget that.
You know what? I'm saying this right now. I'm done with
the May Day for Kev.
I'm done with the remember off.
Oh, really? Because I am too.
Well, you are, but the last time I did it, I got a lot of like shit for it.
Why?
I don't know. I got a lot of emails that were like, leave him alone kind of thing.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, shut up.
Leave me alone.
Oh, let me handle this.
Okay.
Shut the fuck up out there. Look, listen. Oh, okay. Listen. We know Sean. We know Sean better than you. You do not get to tell us how to interact with our friend who cannot remember anything. Okay? He deserves this, and he needs this, and he needs to be shamed, or else he'll never get better. And so you don't have his best interest at heart, so shut the fuck up. Anyways,
that's a good counterpoint. So we'll see. I don't know. Okay. We'll do it. We'll do it or we won't.
Yeah.
That's kind of how life works. You either do something or you don't.
I think you're at the point now where I do remember all the things that you're bringing up, like all the old questions. But, we already know those.
But the awesome thing is that Garrett doesn't.
Garrett doesn't.
You know.
Garrett doesn't know.
So you know, we're speaking for you, but you know.
Yeah.
He didn't even remember to show up.
Yeah. Is he tonight?
There's some fucking bug buzzing around. Sorry.
All right.
Sorry. This thing's pissing me off and I'm going to fucking delete it in a second.
Yeah.
It's like like a regular little bug makes okay, but this thing's like
it's
fucking
a fly.
It's loud as hell though. Yeah, it's a loud fly.
Well, no one else.
I'm ready to kill it.
Work through it.
Yeah. I saw that thing
part out.
I saw that thing when I came in here, so I had to suit up.
Get the fuck out of here. I like can't hear myself think. This thing's so fucking loud, this fly. People at home with headphones on are probably dying because the fly's so loud. They can't hear this great content. Fuck!
Hey, speaking of great content, we are Mega64. We put out great content every single week on our YouTube channel. Check it out. This week, we did a little behind-the-scenes video of our classic Trilogy Ender Games Alive podcast. Episode 1. I think Rocco, you said this earlier this week when you kind of edited the behind the scenes video, and you said sometimes the behind the scenes is a case of better than the original video.
Yeah.
And this may be one of those instances. This was a behind the scenes video that had a lot of extra footage from the set, because when we were filming our Games Alive podcast video, we were improvising for probably like a good hour or two.
Yeah.
So obviously the video is only a few minutes long. Not all that stuff's going to go in. So all of the best takes and bloopers were put into the behind the scenes video.
Yeah. This thing's pissing me off. I'm about to fucking murder.
I feel the Italian rape. Right? Hold on. Let me.
Arm
up. There. Watch out, fly.
Anyway, this behind the scenes. Yeah, there's some things that just by their nature, obviously you can't use. So you see a lot of eating shitty food.
Yeah.
A lot of eating bad food. You know, we couldn't go on forever in the original video. But I mistakenly spit a lot of it on Sean's head, and I apologize.
It wasn't a mistake.
There was
like
a bone.
When we film, there's a bone in the hot dog. Okay. I feel when we film and the camera's rolling, Rocco will go to the extra level. And I wasn't mad. We're filming. When the camera's on, it's kind of like, you know, you get an extra pass. But then he has to pretend like he did it on accident. I think he did it on purpose. I'm not mad.
I do like to do that.
I'm not mad.
I do like to do that. I did that. You know what? There's something I want to talk about too, actually, that's not on. We didn't plan on it today.
What?
We should. Is I do like to push it sometimes with the filming, so I'll do something like that to you. All right, guilty. All right, caught. I can tell you when I've been caught. All right.
Knew it.
But when we filmed the Jinx commercials, which they just put out the second one.
Yeah.
They put out the second one. I was doing that to Derek because Derek played the model actor in it, and I was the douchebag asshole director.
Right.
And I kept saying how proud I was of Derek, and I kissed him on the head.
Yes.
And I knew Derek would not like that. I knew that it was like, all right, he's not going to be happy about this. I'm going to do it, and then you'll get that on camera.
Right.
They did that. I don't think is in the video.
Oh. Fuck.
But they put out an outtake video a couple days ago.
Oh.
And you could see Derek's reaction in that. Like, yeah, you don't do that again. All right. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. I don't remember that. I must have blocked that out.
Yeah. I would have.
It was like a really slow kiss, too.
Oh, dude, was it? It was. Man, I'll have to check the tapes.
It was extra juicy.
Get the slow motion replay. So, I really don't recall. There was so much going on in that
there
day.
Was. There
that
was.
Whole day was a blur. You could have done much more to me than kiss me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't did. Know. Because I have so few memories.
No way of knowing. There was so much sexual activity on that set. No way of knowing.
I remember you handed me a drink, and after that, the memories just got hazy.
Yeah.
So.
I said, I asked you if you were feeling sleepy, and then that was the end. That was a Cosby joke.
Yeah, okay.
It's a reference. Oh,
appreciate two comedians taking down another. Please.
That's what we were talking
about.
There's
a takedown.
That didn't really happen.
Is he in jail?
There's a roast.
Yeah, what's going on with him?
I don't know.
What's the latest?
Man, I used to love Bill Cosby. That was a heartbreaker. Yeah. That was a bummer. Anyways.
That
bummer.
Was sad. Yeah. Anyway, I was just going to say, but anyway, we never totally talked about those Jinx commercials.
We didn't.
But those Jinx commercials came out, and they invited us to be part of these commercials, but it was basically like, okay, we want to brainstorm ideas with you, and we did, and they took care of the rest. They basically did all the production.
Yeah,
which was awesome. They wanted to create a campaign that was, I hope I'm not giving all their secrets away.
Oh, shit.
They wanted to do something that was...
Violation of NDA. Go ahead.
They wanted to do something that was kind of provocative in that way, where it was like, is this serious?
Yeah, so naturally they had to go with the number one internet provocateurs. Mm-hmm. I would say it'd be hard to find a more provocative group of provocateurs than Mega64. You could go with like Sam Pepper, but that's not a group. That's one guy.
That's one guy.
Just saying.
Probably.
Just.
But yeah, you couldn't. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. Just wouldn't win with that.
Probably.
One. Anyway, no. But yeah, filming with that. No, but that was really cool because they handled all the production, and it was really cool because once it was all in motion, it was like, wait, we just show up and like act?
Yeah.
Like we're not used to that.
Give us lines and then we sit there and wait for our turn and then they cater it. It's like, this is fucking best.
Yeah.
It was the best.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's... I'll be honest here. Let me take the goggles off.
Oh, okay.
It's not the same because when we do a video, just ourselves, we do everything. So we're behind the camera. We write it. We act in it. So we could change it on the spot, you know, when we have an idea right there on the set, we could throw it out there. But when you're doing a video for other people that they're directing and they're going to be the ones who edit it eventually, you kind of have to let it go a little bit, you know? So when we're on the set, we do comedy videos all the time, but that wasn't necessarily a Mega64 video. Yeah. So they'd be doing things and I'd think, well, if this was a Mega64 video, it might be a little bit funnier to do it this way. But I had to stop from like... making suggestions, you know, because it's like, well,
yeah,
I'm just an actor here.
Yeah.
I'm just an actor on this set. So, you know, give me the direction. I'm not going to give you the direction. It's a little bit strange.
Yeah. I loved it. I had a great time.
I kind of like them both situations for different reasons. It's less stressful just being an actor.
Oh, for sure.
But at the end of the day, I feel less attached to the project, you know.
Yeah, because you didn't have your hands in every.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, you don't know every facet of it.
It's not my baby. So even if the video, because we've done a couple of videos for Jinx now, and I've done a couple with them. One video I did got 500,000 views.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily feel the same way I would feel about a Mega64 video that got 500,000 views.
It's not your baby.
You didn't spend like 3 weeks straight on
your life with it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
weird.
Different experience.
It is weird. Yeah. Not because, just like you were saying, I kept feeling like, well, but do I need to do more? Can I help more? Can I do more? You know, but it's like, no, just walk away. Just walk away.
They were like moving sets and I was like, can I help? I'm like, no, just sit down. It's like,
yeah,
but I always help. Okay.
Yeah.
I felt weird watching people.
That was the weirdest thing. When we do stuff here, we pick up the sets, we're moving the lights, we're doing the cameras, we're doing all the crew work and talent work. Yeah. So yeah, to go to a set like that, you just basically sit around, get pampered. People put makeup on you.
Yeah,
and they feed you food, and you don't do anything.
It was just spoiling me because when we are on a film shoot with us, it's like I remember sitting. Well, on the Jinx set, I was sitting there and I was like, man, I don't know what it was. Like it was really cold on their set.
It was cold,
and I remember thinking like I was in some kind of position for a long time, and I was like, damn, like my back's sore. And immediately someone on set was like, I'm a massage therapist, and they massaged me, and I was like, man, if I said that on our set, Derek would be like, shut the fuck up, get over here.
No, Sean, I'd massage you, but you probably wouldn't like it.
That's true. Well, because I would kiss you back, and you wouldn't like that. Mm. So it'd be a whole field of not liking it, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, no, but it was just funny. It was just like not our atmosphere at all.
No.
And they had pizza that was better than Little Caesars. That's rare for us, too.
That's the other difference between their set and ours.
But what's wrong with Little Caesars? Go ahead. Say it.
Yeah, so you know what? Shouts out to Jinx.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
They're not a sponsor of this podcast, but we'll give them a little plug.
Yeah, shouts out.
They're friends of ours, and they are a local San Diego clothing company, which I didn't know because I'd seen Jinx at a bunch of conventions. I always see that nerdy skull everywhere we go, the giant skull with glasses. Actually, kudos to Jinx. They usually have one of the coolest booths at conventions.
Agreed.
Yeah, they brought the giant ass skull.
They always
bring
the big skull, and they like put TVs in the eyes, and they have it do all this crazy stuff. Way better than our booth. Anyways, now we're friends with them. So it's always cool when, you know, kind of the video game related companies around San Diego meet up with us.
Yeah, I really feel like if you are from San Diego, you become friends with it. Like,
you got to be friends with us.
We're friends with so many people in San Diego. The Behemoth and
David Jaffe.
David Jaffe, Bartlett Jones.
His company, Bartlett Jinx. Jones.
Yeah, like I just feel like if you're in San Diego, we're going to be friends.
Speaking of people promoting one another, last week they watched a video. They watched. I do a thing on my personal channel so often, where I make a threat to ISIS.
Like, I've filmed a couple of those. Yeah,
if you mess with me, you know, whatever. This time I made a threat to all the Russian hackers. And
they're fucking shit up.
They watched it on their show, and it's on. They have a list of like important videos, like must watch videos or something like that, and that's on the list.
Well, it's a very important video.
If you guys notice, you know, that was kind of my video that did that. So if you guys kind of notice your earnings go up or you notice like
I haven't noticed
you're
that.
More famous on the street.
I haven't noticed that
you
either.
Know, I just want to give a shout out Ethan who watched that video. Shout out to him. But also shout out to me because that was my video. And, you know, so I'm just letting you guys know, you know.
Yeah,
shout out to you.
Where, my life hasn't changed, Rocco. Not in Monday.
Well, but you haven't really been outside. I mean, we've been working on stuff. So you haven't
I've been outside.
Out
it hasn't changed.
Oh.
Same.
Well,
give it time.
You know what? Vegas 64, this is the year we reach 1 million subs. So if anybody out there wants to promote us, H3H3, who else can promote us? The CNN YouTube channel. You can do a story about us.
I think it's time for PewDiePie to do his video on us, finally. Like, do I call him Pewds? Kevin, do I call him?
Don't.
Yeah. Okay.
Stupid.
This is the year. We do have a YouTube channel. You probably already know that. But maybe what you didn't know is we have an archive channel as well.
Yep.
You can find that. Go to our YouTube channel. Off there onto the off to the right is a link to our archive channel. You can see the after show for our podcast.
Yeah.
Sometimes the after show is better than the real podcast. I'll go ahead and say it. It's true sometimes. And Garrett Hunter puts up his poorly played stream. The Garrett Hunter PPS, as I like to call it.
Yeah.
He gets a little testy when I call it that.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed if you don't call it the PPS, if you budge with the name at all, Garrett gets a little bit upset. Garrett, of all people, gets upset when you get the name wrong.
That's weird.
Yeah. But he just put up, I believe, episode 218 of that. You could check all that out on the archive channel.
I don't know what he played this week. Do you know, Kevin?
I think he played Air Guys.
He played Air Guys, the classic game. That's been on our set forever. He played it. So check that out. Hey, everybody who follows us on, who has us on Patreon, if you're a supporter on Patreon, we were supposed to have a new friend dimension up. Actually, if you're watching this on YouTube, it's probably up.
Mm-hmm.
The grand finale episode of our Resident Evil 7 playthrough. Sean playing Resident Evil.
Nice!
I fucking
we beat the game, and you can see it for yourself.
Sean actually beat a game for once. A rare feat for this guy. When was the last time you beat a game? Do you remember the last game you beat?
Honestly?
The last game you beat on any system.
I think it was Skyward Sword. I think it was Skyward Sword.
Dang! Yeah, what was that, like 5 years ago?
You must have beat something. I feel like we talked about something.
You can't like beat Mario Kart. Like, is that you beat that?
No.
Like, I mean, like,
what? But I know there's something else.
I don't.
You never beat Last of Us.
No.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
I think it was Skyward Sword.
So, a long time coming. Yeah. Sean finally beats another game, Resident Evil 7.
All the Uncharted?
Oh! Uncharted. Okay, Uncharted.
It was Uncharted.
Nice.
Uncharted 4. Thank you. But let me tell you that I've been playing Zelda nonstop. So when I got the controls in my hands, like, I haven't played this game in like 2 months. Yeah. And now doing it for an audience, yeah. And I don't remember anything. Which if you watch the video, it's very apparent that didn't know what I was doing. So it's like, oh, I'm about to fight the final boss of this game. Don't remember how to use the controls at all. So,
you know, I think it's actually an accomplishment for the Friend Dimension legacy. You know, we do a lot of things on Friend Dimension that are usually one-off little games. You get a little 20-minute sample of a game.
Yeah.
But you, with Resident Evil, pretty much went through the whole thing.
Pretty much, yeah.
How many episodes did it take you?
Four?
More than that.
Yeah, but I did do some of it not on...
Maybe six. Some of it. There were a couple hours of the game that you did off camera, but for the most part, all internet soldiers out there who kind of want to go through the experience of you playing Resident Evil...
I got a lot...
Authentically, it's all there on camera.
I got a lot of feedback that people said they really enjoy watching me play games because I am fucking terrible. And to the point where it's laughable and people like it, like they liked it. So
like I said, we do a lot of Friend Dimensions that are just one off. And I think that's fun, but I think it's a whole different form of entertainment when you get to see kind of one person progress through hours and hours and hours of a story or a piece of media. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, check that out if you're interested. That's on our Patreon.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about some video game stuff.
Okay. Ready.
Mario Kart finally came out.
Right. I didn't get that yet, though.
You guys haven't played that?
No.
Okay.
I've not. Have you played more of it?
Yeah. I don't have that much more to say. I mean, now online is working. It's not just two journalists on the server.
Right. Okay. That's good. So my question to you is, like, if we want to play online and I have a Switch but I don't have a game, is that possible? Like, the 3DS, I thought it was possible.
Yeah. Without a cart, you can only play as Toad or something. Maybe I'm remembering an old version of the game.
But I thought that happened in the 3DS version of it.
Yeah, I think you could. Switch? I have no idea. I don't think so. I think you got to have the game. That's a big game.
Yeah, that makes sense, but...
I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. But, yeah, anyway.
Oh, sure. Okay.
That's right. I was going to ask about that. But I got another Switch game. Puyo Puyo Tetris came out, which is a puzzle game that fuses Tetris with... Puyo Puyo.
That's Puyo Puyo.
Which, when it first came out here in the U.S., was called Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine. But the Japanese name was Puyo Puyo. Or Puyo Pop, or whatever. Anyway, it's a game you play with beans. You stack them and clump them together in groups of four to try to get them to vanish. This game fuses both. So when you go into every stage, you might be doing Puyo, you might be doing Tetris.
Now let me ask you something. Which do you prefer, Puyo or Tetris?
Oh, I'm a Tetris guy.
Really?
I mean, yeah.
I've never played Puyo, but I play Bust a Move. I'm very familiar with the lineup three, lineup four gems. Yeah. I prefer that.
Really?
The take this four square shape and make the line at the bottom, I'm not so good at.
Yeah. You have to play a lot more Tetris. I played a lot of Tetris, and I feel like I'm getting the dynamics. I feel like over time I got the dynamics a little better. So there was a time I felt that way, but
okay.
I'm a Tetris guy now. But I was going to say, there's also a mode that fuses the two. So sometimes you get one or the other. And so you're like stacking beans, and then, oh, wait, I just got an L block. Oh,
whoa,
shit.
What?
And what you do is when you stack that, the Tetris blocks are heavy. They actually pluck through all the beans. So maybe if you're stacking up too many beans, you know, oh, it's getting too high, a Tetris block will pluck all the way through it. But then you've got this immovable block, and if they keep sending you beans, then it's like, oh, shit, I can't get around this block. So you got to strategize. You got to, like, you know exactly what to do with both kinds.
Interesting.
So it's great. It's a great game. I think it's cheaper than normal if you can find a good deal on it. I think it might have been, but I'm seeing it 30 in a lot of places. Okay. I feel like maybe I'm crazy. But absolutely worth 30. I mean, no question. So that's a great game. It's got lots of multiplayer, stuff like that. So I dig it. Check that out.
Cool. New video game trailer for Call of Duty came out this week.
Big stuff this week.
Call of Duty World War II, which, crazy. I guess, did they patent World War II? That just seems like such a blanket.
Yeah, we were talking about that when they announced it. That covers a lot of...
That sounds all-encompassing.
Let me just say, regardless of what I say going forward, positive, negative, that is the laziest title I've ever heard for anything. And we were saying as soon as they announced it, it's like, that... I mean, it's not even like, you know, you give it a name like Call of Duty Frontlines or Call of Duty Dark something, you know? It's not like that where you can make it about one thing. It's like World War II. So is that covering everything? Or what are they doing?
Yeah, there's a lot that happened in that one.
I just feel like World War II is such a big topic. The Call of Duty's not going to cover it.
Yeah, I don't know. But what do you do? My question is, how do you abbreviate it? So do you? Is it or is this going to be
I like COD dubs.
WW2 on the front is with two. It was with the Roman numerals,
right?
Which look like eyes. So yeah. I like CODWE. CODWE.
I'm cool with COD dubs. COD dubs.
You know who they should hire to do a promo for the game?
No.
That kid, that British kid that been playing fucking Call of Duty and I'm so fucking bad at it. Remember that kid who was like crying?
What?
Is that the one that drinks the milk?
Yeah.
It's not my game.
He's got white crud all over his face and he goes, it's milk because I was just, I don't even give a shit. And
he's
then he punches
crying.
Yeah,
he punches the wall or yeah, the screen?
He does. We got to find that video.
That video is fucking gnarly.
Yeah, it was just this weird.
It was weird because it was funny because he was crying. Didn't he eventually? No, that was a different video. He shows off his room instead of holes in the wall. But that's different.
But he shows damage in his too. Yeah. I think.
What was that one? Some guy was playing some like keyboard like. And he punches the screen.
He punches the monitor, and then he shows the rest of his room.
And his holes.
Where, it's all holes in the walls. That's one of the best videos ever.
You know what? This is kind of off topic, but I'm going to do it anyways. Yeah. Yes, last week you guys talked about, you guys should have a Rage Against the Machine cover, but you have the kids do it. And hey, those of you, I had the best time on Monday editing the podcast. Type in YouTube, Rage Against the Machine talent show, because it is always so fucking unbearable cringe. It's the worst cringe you'll ever see. It's awful. And it's people thinking they're so fucking hard and tough playing like Bulls on Parade, and it's like, oh my god, this fucking sucks. So anyways, check that out.
That was a good
check that out.
Sean was like blown away when we came in while he was editing it. He's like, this is a treasure trove.
I never thought to look that up, but that's great.
Anyway, back to Call of Duty.
World War II.
I don't know if you guys are gonna disagree or disagree with me. Take on CODWE. I'm sticking with it. I didn't see any really creativity in anything they showed.
No. In fact, it looked like a lot of things had been taken from like Saving Private Ryan, which I would argue is the opposite of creativity.
Yes.
When you're just taking things from a movie that's already extremely popular.
Yes.
But go ahead, continue.
But
I agree with where you're going.
We don't have a World War II game on this level, on this generation hardware.
Graphics?
So I will probably play it.
It looked like really good graphics with the same World War II gimmick that we saw about 10 years ago done to death. And this is what I was saying to Rocco and I think Kevin, which was, I was around for the last generation of World War II games. Yeah. So I was there for...
You already did it all.
Yeah, kind of the moment where it got oversaturated.
Sure.
But it's been so long, there's a whole new generation of people and a whole new generation of consoles that, you know, kind of are missing that experience. So as unoriginal as Call of Duty World War II is, it might be a little
on current hardware, maybe it'll work. I was going to say, though, in addition to what you said, because I agree, a lot of people weren't there for that generation or whatever. I will also say I've seen more people's dads excited for this one than any other.
Really?
Yeah. World War II is just that.
Oh.
You know? My dad was like, hey, what was that? That looked cool. You know, and he wouldn't have met, you know, maybe brought that up before. So,
hey, if you could drop a nuke, we're all good. And if not, then it's not World War II.
In the new game?
In the new game. Yeah. That'll be the barometer. If if it's a good game or not.
Yeah, well, that will be the test, really.
I wonder if you can, like, choose which battle you are. Like, are you going to be in Japan? Are you going to be in Germany? Are you going to be in
All France? I know is I hope there... God, I know it's going to sound... I hope there are no women in it. Because I'm you're trying to keep it accurate. And you're trying to keep it... Oh, shit! Yeah, they had this awesome zombie mode, though. Yeah, check that out. It's coming this fall. I'm excited about what that.
Was that a bit...
There was someone on Twitter, I think Matthew Bruce retweeted something, but some guy put like, oh, you can play as a woman in this? That's fucking terrible because that's not historically accurate.
Yeah.
And shame on them. And then the next tweet of him is, dude, confirmed Call of Duty has zombies. Very excited.
Yeah, they were like hyped on that.
Jesus fucking Christ.
It was pretty funny. So that's that. I want to say too, real fast, just speaking of shooters.
Yeah.
I wanted to play one after I was done with Zelda because I beat Zelda and I wanted, it's like, I got to play something else. I can't play like Horizon right now or anything. I got to play something. So I finally finished Gears of War 4. Okay. And that was a really fun game. That ended up being great. I groaned when they announced it. I was like, who cares? We got the 3. It's good. It was a really fun game. It was a lot of fun. It didn't feel the need to make the story bigger than the other ones, but yet the gameplay felt crazier than ever. I ended up really liking it. It was cool.
Anyway, that's cool.
That's all.
Just have they given that. A restate for God of War, the new one?
No, they haven't even touched on that.
No.
Yeah. Not at all. Right. You know what though? I decided.
What?
What did I'm you gonna, decide? I'm,
and I want to. This will kind of be, I guess, the podcast question of the week. Kind of an open dialogue.
Okay.
And get it with going with you guys too. Nintendo announced a 2DS. XL. Now, I decided I want to be mad about this.
Oh,
but I haven't figured out how or what, why, really. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of trying to figure out. So if you have any thoughts on that, email podcast at mega64.com because I'm trying to decide why I'm mad.
Yeah. I know why you're mad.
Why?
Same reason you get mad when Disneyland raises the prices. You haven't yet realized you don't have to buy anything you don't want to buy.
No, I think I have
to. Nah,
I don't.
I know. It's so easy to get angry and be
I'm
like,
pretty sure I have to.
Why you put this stuff out now? I can't afford this.
Yeah. Ah! You know what, though? I do kind of get someone being mad by this. Legitimately.
Why?
Legitimately. Because
I'm actually curious.
Well, I'm not mad. But I can see if I wanted the NES Classic. And okay. I didn't get one because they stopped production. And now they're making this. It's like, fuck.
Okay, that's
just make one. What I want.
Because he did say, actually, Reggie said in an interview the other day, he said, hey, you know, we had to move on. We don't have infinite resources.
Right.
So, yeah, you could see the resources to like this and stopped, go, hey, what?
They're making this instead, which I, you know.
Or focus on the Switch.
No, because I still come back to Disneyland price logic.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy it.
No, you don't have
to. And then. Hear me out, because maybe I'm crazy, everybody. I might be a psycho.
Okay.
The people at Nintendo might just say, wow, this NES Classic made us a lot of money. Whoa, this 2DS XL didn't. And maybe in the future, they'll make the things that people buy.
Maybe.
More.
And again, I don't care, because I already have the Nintendo Classic. I'm just saying, I could see someone being like, they stopped production on this, and I want to get one, and I couldn't.
I'm just bringing up the being mad thing, because when they announced the first 2DS...
Yeah.
I just remember all these tweets that were like, what the fuck, Nintendo?
Yeah, they were
and it was like, what? You're in a. This was like made for 7-year-olds.
And you know who loved it? My 7-year-old.
Yeah.
Weird.
It was like, it like had no effect on anything.
Yeah.
So it was just weird. I remember seeing a lot of rage about it, and it was like, well, why? I remember when they put the Star Wars prequels. Remember? Well, they only did one. Do you remember they put the Phantom Menace in 3D?
Yeah.
I remember people tweeting, "God, Star Wars is officially dead," and it's don't go. Like, what is that?
I'm laughing because I forgot there was a plan to do all the Star Wars in 3Ds.
Yeah.
But it was like, but you basically have to see them in order. And they were holding the original trilogy hostage, and it was like. No, fuck you.
Remember? Yeah, they said if the other ones do well, then we'll do the original
this
trilogy.
Is an instance of what I'm talking about actually playing out the way I'm saying. Everybody went, no.
Yeah.
Don't think
whole
so.
The whole thing was stupid. But anyway, whatever. So yeah, the 2DS XL. Great, if it gets them cheaper. But I'm actually surprised that around Black Friday, and we all knew the Switch was coming, and we all knew this or that, whatever, about Nintendo. And, you know, the NES Classic existed. I mean, somewhere.
Yeah.
But... on Black Friday, they made 3DSs $99. Wow. And I knew more people than ever hunting that down. Everyone was asking, where's the $99 3DS? Where is that? Where is that? That was such a perfect price. And I'm actually surprised this new 2DS, it's like $150. To me, if they would have made that thing $99 and it's actually plentiful and it's everywhere, man.
That's coming this Christmas.
It's got to be, right? I think that's got to be what they're planning.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when do those come out? When is the, what's it called? The new 2DS XL? Is that the name of it?
It's a mouthful. But actually, it actually folds up. It has big screen. It's a nice looking device. I mean, if you just want to get out on that ecosystem.
And honestly, personally, the 3D hurt my eyes and I couldn't play things in 3D. So I never had the 3D on. So this to me would have been better if that was an option back in the day.
Sure. But for the record, I want to say I had my 3D turned all the way up.
You did.
Because I couldn't do it, guys.
It gave me a headache.
The extension is so long, ladies and gentlemen, you wouldn't believe what this screen looks like.
I turned that slider. Anyway.
Hey. That was good.
Thank you.
Can we talk sponsorships?
Hey, yeah. We want to thank our sponsors for this podcast.
Let's do it.
Hey.
In 90 seconds or less. Could I issue a challenge?
Yes.
All right. Go.
MacWeldon.com, the finest clothing establishment on the internet. Do you have fucked up underwear? Do you have gross-ass clothes?
Yes.
No more when you go to MacWeldon.com and order some for yourself. They're high quality. Their fabric is amazing. It tastes good. It smells good, but it looks good, and that's the most important part. Go to MacWeldon.com. Order a pair for yourself of shorts, pants, undergarments, or anything else. Go there and use the offer code MEGA64 to get 20% off your order. That's 20% off some amazing garments. MacWeldon.com. We also want to thank our friends at Kickapoo Joy Juice, the finest soda in all the land. Go to drinkkickapoo.com. Drink some for yourself. Have a sip and you'll love it. Every sip of it. Follow them on Twitter at Drink Kickapoo to get updates at any given second on where the drink is at any given moment. And I want to sponsor ourselves, shop.mega64.com. Shop.mega64.com has the finest Mega 64 items. We have merch all the time and it supports us directly. That's right, shop.mega64.com. Tonight, this night, Sunday night, is the last night to pre-order a archive hoodie. So if you didn't get one, tonight's your last night to order. And if you're watching it on Tuesday on YouTube, you're fucked. What was that?
91 seconds.
Nuh-uh.
Fuck. No. God damn it, Rocco.
It was 2 minutes, but that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good, though. It was really good.
We have to work on it for next week, but I give you a C for this week.
But I do want to reemphasize, in case that I did say it really quick. Tonight is the last night to order the archive hoodie.
Right, tonight's the last night.
So get on it.
Taking that link down.
Don't come up tomorrow crying about it.
And it's becoming summer, so I don't think we're reprinting that. At least not now. We're not reprinting it. So if you don't pre-order it tonight, you ain't wearing shit.
Yeah.
You ain't wearing shit. You're going shirtless all summer, which sometimes is nice. Not at a job interview. Wear our hoodie to a job interview. You're going to get the job.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Carl's Jr. is going to pick you up like that.
Pender tag in the chat says, not a fan of the archive hoodie. We're going to talk to Twitch about having his account removed.
Permanently and removed.
Revoked because we're gonna
delete all of his hard drives.
Listen, all you chatters, if it's not 100% positive all the time, there will be consequences and we can prosecute.
Thank you very much.
All right. Anyway, hey, I saw a movie this last week I want to talk about.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll allow that.
There was a movie I saw that when I saw it, I thought, this will be fun to watch. I was working on some stuff, but I'm going to put it on. I think I was putting together furniture or some shit. Mm. I don't know what I was doing. Mm. But I thought this will be probably like a positive, fun thing. And I didn't think I would leave mad.
Oh, no.
The movie was The Founder. I had heard about this a while ago. I never had a chance to see it in theaters.
That sounds like a Darren Aronofsky film.
Yeah.
But you're talking about the story of McDonald's, right?
I wish Darren Aronofsky had done it, though. So it'd be a little more like...
It sounds like... Well, every time you bring it up, I think The Fountain. But that was no, that's a different movie.
They're almost the same movie,
though. Oh.
Visually. Okay. Anyway, nice. No, but The Founder is about the creation of McDonald's and its founder. And according to, you know, the founder is Ray Kroc.
According to legend,
the founder is Ray Kroc. And he was played by Michael Keaton. I love Michael Keaton. And I wanted to see, oh, the story of McDonald's. Okay. It's directed by the guy who did Saving Mr. Banks, which I actually really liked that movie. I thought that was a really cool movie. But anyway, so this movie was also good. I thought it was good, but I did not know anything about the story of McDonald's. Apparently, I knew bits and pieces, but this guy helped them found McDonald's, this guy Ray Kroc, and helped them franchise it, but ultimately took over the franchise as it was going. So he's like, yeah, you know, I want to do this and I want to actually do all this and this and this, but I don't even have time to consult
real quick,
the McDonald brothers.
Because I don't expect people out there to know the history of McDonald's or Ray Kroc off the bat. Apparently McDonald's was founded by two brothers and they just had one burger shop.
Yeah.
Ray Kroc, I guess, was a milkshake machine salesman.
Yes.
Who thought, hey, this is a great burger chain. I'll go into business with you guys and we'll make this a big thing. Yes. And that's kind of what this movie's about.
That's exactly what it's about. You see every step of that. And yeah, and he's like, you know, you guys need to franchise this. You guys, and they're like, oh, we tried. We couldn't get that together. It didn't work. Couldn't have good quality across all the restaurants. Well, he just stepped in. He's like, well, I'll do it. I'll oversee all this so that it will happen, you know. Right. But as it went on, they needed to make bigger and bigger strides. And the brothers were always going, nah, that's too much, or that's too weird, or that's too whatever. And he basically was like, I'm just doing it. And he just took over this company. And it basically comes down to, I'm leaving you guys in the dust. And they're like, well, you can't do that. Right. Sue me. Can you? Do you have the money to do that?
Jesus. You like, kind of described it. I know you don't want to spoil it for people out there, but you kind of described it almost like There Will Be Blood.
It is There Will Be Blood in fast food. Yeah, that's exactly.
Wow.
And well, even the director talks about it that way. He's like, we saw it as that kind of story.
Jesus.
So that's what, if you want to see a more.
Do you have the same theme song or the same music? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
They're
making burgers. But the mind blower of the movie to me, though, was.
Well, it's more like. Close.
But they do drink milkshakes.
Okay. Whoa.
Anyway, I just thought of that. Anyway, I just thought of that. But anyway, I was going to say, the one thing, though, that was a mind blower to me, though, in watching this movie, though, is that it really was such a mind blower that McDonald's could do what it did. They went out on a tennis court to draw out how to streamline the whole, okay, you have mustard, hand it to him. He's got a little bit of ketchup, really? Hand it over to him. And it's always two pickles, not three, not one, two, you know. And they streamlined everything, and that had never really been done. And Ray Kroc is so blown away by it because he's like, when I go to fast food places, it takes half an hour, and they give me a tray and a fork and knife. But you guys are just handing me a burger and paper. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? And they're like, you eat it, and then you throw it away. I throw it away myself? It was such a novel concept.
Huh.
And it never occurs to me how revolutionary things are. You know, I remember watching an episode of Boardwalk Empire where Chalky White looks at Nucky and goes, yeah, out of the way, motherfucker. And a great scene is then he walks away and it's silent on Steve Buscemi for a minute. And he goes, what is a motherfucker? Ugh. Like what? Like there's this moment of like, what did he just say? And it's like, oh yeah, that's, you know. Or you know, Band of Brothers, they see a concentration camp.
Right,
it's like,
and they don't know
oh my God, what is this? And yeah. It's like, and I had a moment in the audience of like, what do you mean, what is this? Oh.
Yeah.
There is a, you know, there's a point in time you haven't heard of shit.
You don't know what that is.
You know? So anyway, in the fast food world, it was that. It was just like, what, you wrapped in paper? I throw it away? Like what? Like what? You know, it was just, anyway. So that was really interesting. But anyway. But yeah, by the end of that movie, he's got McDonald's, but he owns McDonald's. And it's like, what the...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, it's just, yeah.
Spoiler alert. He also owns the Padres at some point.
And he kills Hitler. But,
yeah, you can't say it's history. That doesn't, we know that doesn't work here.
That wasn't history.
I know. I'm still on your side.
It was
history. It was a fictional movie about a historic event, but it wasn't how it went down in history.
It's like
World War II.
It's like,
but it's not how history unfolded, so it's not. It's not. It's fiction.
It was a fictional movie.
Yes.
Founders the same thing.
I'm still on your side.
The story of Ray Kroc is the same deal.
Please.
What else? Anything else to say about that?
No, anyway. I felt like we lost at the end of the movie. But, you know, you can also look at it the other side is like this company was trying so hard to progress and these brothers kind of weren't budging.
Right. They weren't going
to
do it themselves.
So it leaves it up to you to decide. So check out that movie, The Founder. Some of it's a little cheesy, but it was a good movie.
Hey, speaking of historically accurate movies, I had always heard of a movie growing up that was X-rated, but not like it was a pornography.
Oh,
just that, like, seriously, X is the rating after R, and this movie got hit with an X.
It's like Clockwork Orange.
Yeah,
like
exactly. And I'm glad you bring that up. Exactula. 1979 Caligula. These guys came in earlier this week. I always
wanted to see that.
I was watching a History Channel documentary on Caligula, who was a Roman dictator, the great grandson of Julius Caesar, I believe. Fucked up guy, was sent to this weird, almost held prisoner on this like island where the emperor of the time was doing sexual deviation, perverted stuff, killing people.
Oh.
Fucked with Caligula's head, and then when he became emperor, basically just tortured people, all kinds of crazy stuff. So they made a movie about his life in the 70s, named after him, called Caligula. It's rated X. It is on YouTube. In its entirety.
Oh, I didn't know
I
that.
I bet YouTube doesn't know.
Hey, I bet the YouTube doesn't know
anything. Holy Mountain's on there, too. Like some, it's like only fucked up movies survive.
You can always trust... I'll tell you about Holy Mountain in a second. You can always trust old Uncle Derek to tell you when the fucked up shit is available on YouTube. And right now, Caligula is available. I started watching it. I turned it off. But I didn't turn it off because it was uninteresting. It was very interesting. But it was exactly everything that I had was worried it would be, hearing about it for all these years as a kid. And I was like, it was late at night, and I was like, you know what? I'll need to come back to this later. But it was it starred Malcolm McDowell from Clockwork Orange and Peter O'Toole, like all these big name real actors. And I always thought this was some sort of like indie snuff, like, you know, porno movie almost. And it is, but it's also, it's this weird mix of really insane. Honestly, there's pornographic images in this movie. There's group orgies.
I'm out.
I'm pretty sure I saw there's like shots of a girl having sex with a snake. There is.
There's
people like having sex on camera. It cuts to just dudes jerking off.
Whoa.
Like,
I'm in.
It's hardcore shit. But at the same time, there's real actors and the sets are huge and there's tons of money spent on it.
Yeah, this sounds awesome.
It is a weird experience. If you're interested in that kind of thing, and it's a historically accurate film, apparently, about this Roman emperor. If you're interested in that kind of thing, it's available on YouTube. Check it out. It's called Caligula. And I just want to say, I mentioned a YouTube documentary last week, but I gave out the wrong channel. I said...
I couldn't find it. I was looking for it. Okay.
I said Barcroft or Bancroft when I should have said Real
Barcroft.
Real Stories was the documentary channel. So, man, you know what? YouTube has so many documentaries on it.
Yeah.
Documentaries and full-length albums are the best thing on YouTube, if you ask me.
I mean, how tired are we of the meme of History Channel doesn't play? It's all fucking Pawn Stars. Go to YouTube. Like, if you want a documentary, you don't need to go to History Channel. But they don't need to dictate what you watch. You choose it yourself.
Yeah, totally.
Go there.
Totally
watch
agree.
It all there. But yeah, listening to that Caligula thing you were watching was like super fascinating. It was like, I didn't know shit about him, but that was weird. That was a crazy guy.
I learned about Caligula heavily in, I was in like an AP European history class.
Oh, really?
But yeah, because when I was in high school, it was like, if you take this super advanced class, you don't have to take shit in college. And I took shit in college because guess what? I wasn't ready for that. And
apparently Caligula would host dinner parties with the senators, and in between meals, he would bring out convicted criminals and decapitate them in front of the people at the party. And then he'd be like, "All right, now we're gonna have dessert." And then people would just be sitting there as food is brought out, and the servants are like mopping up the blood and taking the heads away. Oh my God. And crazy shit.
It's been. I haven't thought about this since 10th grade. So maybe I'm wrong. Didn't he marry a horse or have a horse involved in...
He didn't marry a horse, but people...
Brought one to meetings or something?
Apparently, people always argued that Caligula was insane. And one of the stories that they had was he started ridiculing the senators and would like... He took away their privileged seats at the Colosseum so they'd have to sit with the slaves and stuff.
Yeah.
And I believe like the most powerful person in the Senate was like the Roman consulate or something. Yeah. And it was time to nominate a new consulate. And
that's what
he started bringing his horse to dinner parties and having his horse sit next to him and feeding the horse on a golden platter. And people were like, what the fuck are you doing with this horse? And he's like, this is going to be my next consulate. And people are like,
elected a horse.
People are like, okay, this guy's insane. Yeah. But then historians now are like, was he insane or was he just like royally head fucking with these people?
He sounds, I mean, obviously, whatever. He sounds like Joffrey from Game of Thrones. Like,
I think he was a big influence on that character.
Well, just like, I mean, the Black Dinner and the Red Wedding. That's true. That's all very derivative of that stuff. But all good stories come from
reality.
History. Dude, I mean crazy. Star Wars is all old shit too, you know, it's all that Bible. Stuff. But wait, the Bible.
I'm just fucking, I don't know. What's Holy Mountain or Holy whatever?
Holy Mountain is a movie by Alejandro Jodorowsky.
It's another documentary.
It's just a weird art film kind of exploring almost like the story of Jesus if he came back in the 70s. But it is filled with so George Harrison was going to play the main character of Jesus.
Uh-huh.
I heard famous story, but passed up the role when he found out that his butthole was going to be featured on camera.
What the fuck?
They wash it.
Yes. Yeah. They wash his butthole. And this movie is filled with stuff like there's so much weird shit that you can't really make sense of. But there's a scene where they have this fake miniature volcano and they cover it with these frogs that are dressed like Aztec warriors. And then they put explosives in it and actually blow them up. So they kill the frogs on camera. They have this army march through the streets with a legion of crucified dogs, and it's all real.
What the fuck?
They were already dead. It's not like they're dogs are suffering.
But it's still it's very unsettling.
How do you get dead dogs?
Go to the store.
Alejandro Jodorowsky did it.
What the fuck?
If you know who to ask at Petco.
I'm pretty sure they literally burn $1 million on camera.
I think they
have a pile of money and they push it into a fire.
It's just all out insanity.
It's an art film from the 70s. Yeah. Very famous art film.
It's worth checking out whether it's your bag or not.
It's not.
The one thing... you haven't seen it yet. Don't knock it until you try it. Try it with me. The thing that is the most impressive about this movie is that every cut is something else in terms of it cuts to all these frogs. Well, then when it cuts back to someone's reaction, there's a fucking flame juggler and a guy with a tuba on his head or something. And then it cuts to the next shot. You know what I mean? Every shot, and then it cuts to another guy and he's got a hippo on a leash. And then it cuts to another thing and every shot is what the fuck? Every cut of this, there's something going on.
It's a very impressive movie with what it can accomplish artistically with a movie. It does things no other movie would do. Yeah. And like Rocco says, it's almost hard to describe, but the way they'll frame something up and then cut to something else will blow your mind.
It's filmed awesome, but
to give you a taste. Bummer. Do you remember 2001 where the monkey throws the bone into the air and then it cuts to the spaceship?
Yes.
And it's almost it's very jarring because it happens so seamlessly you almost don't realize I was looking at a bone and now it's the spaceship. It's cool. Yeah. This movie's filled with tons of that kind of stuff. That. Yeah. Mm. So but anyway. I'm not recommending that. I'm talking Caligula.
Yeah. PA had to crucify those dogs that were already dead. That's a shitty
George problem. Harrison. That's why he bailed. Okay. John Lennon pitched in money for the movie.
They burned it.
He pitched in.
They did.
Basically, he was a big Jodorowsky fan because he saw El Topo, which is another movie by him. And he's like, hey, no one's giving you money for another movie. I'll kick in some money. And so he did. And he had another investor. And they made the movie, and it was fucking weird. And I think the guy who helped fund it, the other guy other than John Lennon hooked Jodorowsky up with a guy who was behind the scenes of the Beatles. I don't know if he was not their manager, but big promotions guy for the Beatles. Hooked him up with him. Well, when the movie came out, that guy was basically like, all right, well, cut this and 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 this, and then we'll put it in theaters. And Jodorowsky was like, no, I'm not touching a frame of it. Okay, well, that was the deal. Well, I don't care. All right, well, I will bury you. So basically that movie was thrown away until 2012. It was finally out of contract and they cleaned it up. So that's why you find it on YouTube. It's in great quality.
Huh.
It's really good quality. So anyway, John Lennon, the original Kickstarter. That's a good comment I see on the chat. See, keep it all positive or I will prosecute.
You know, as a favor to Sean.
Yeah.
I'm going to point out. We have about 5 minutes left in the show.
Thank you.
I'm not rushing anybody.
No, I got a lot more to go into.
I'm just calling attention to the fact that...
I appreciate that.
If we were holding a schedule, you got 5 minutes to say
but
whatever you
want
to say.
But the fans want more. So actually, by pointing out the time, it just makes me want to go over.
Go for it, man.
Because, if you hadn't said anything, I'd be done.
No skin off my back. Do another hour.
But you guys throwing a fit or whatever.
Do your stand-up bit.
Yeah, okay.
Do your act.
Do
your act.
You can do that.
All right.
Hey, for a second. Would anybody at home like to see Rocco's act?
Yep.
Anybody in the chat want to see his act?
They're not ready for my act.
Okay. All right. Well, a lot of people are saying no. So.
Oh, okay, good. Good. All right, well, I'll get it better next for next week.
Sorry.
Hey, the new Gorillaz album came out. Anybody out there listen? All you folks out there, probably nobody.
You know what?
I got so many emails about that. Did you guys put all the Gorillaz out? Did you see?
I put it on to listen to it.
Yeah.
And I got 2 minutes into the first song and thought, I don't want to hear this. And I turned it off.
Really?
And I don't.
Is that a real story?
It is. And I do not know if I will go back. I might probably go back to it. But maybe it's not my mood or something, but I just didn't care.
I think it starts off so much weaker than it ends.
Okay, because I just didn't care.
I didn't really care for the album that much the first time I heard it. I've listened to it since a few times, and I really like it.
Okay.
It's great. But there are like a few rap features on this that I hate, and they're all like up front. You've got this like reggae thing early on. I don't like that. The rap at the beginning, I didn't like that. The two rappers I had heard of on this album that I had actually heard of before were Vince Staples and Danny Brown. Mm. And I'll never listen to them again. Like, wow. That was like fucking nails on a chalkboard shit. Like, but the rest of it is really well done. The thing that I think is funny about Gorillaz, and this is what I wanted to bring up, is no matter what they do and no matter what they say or release, you will always hear, I don't know, this just doesn't sound like Gorillaz. Every single thing they put out. I remember when they put out that Donk-O-Matic single.
Yeah.
That's a great song.
Love
and
that
it was
song.
Just
love that song.
And it was just, oh man, it just doesn't sound like Gorillaz. And you have to realize that even me, I'm pointing this back at myself. You have to realize they don't have really a consistent thing totally. They go wildly different with every one of their things, you know, that they put out. And so, yeah, the first time I heard it, I was like, not as good as Plastic Beach. I still don't think it is, but it's a great album.
Yeah.
But Plastic Beach was more like, it was almost kind of like a movie. Like, you got this intro by Snoop Dogg that was really cool, and it was a lot more cohesive as like a big movement. And this one's just a good, really good collection of tracks, which is still good, but it's just not quite the same. But anyway, but I still really like it.
People are
really
talking shit that Donk-O-Matic song. I thought that was like, I love that.
Yeah, that was a great
song. I didn't know how popular it was.
I think
or not, but I love it.
But by the nature of Gorillaz doing so many different things, I think some people are fans of different things.
Sure.
So well, I like stuff like Donk-O-Matic. I don't really like the more rap heavy tracks on this.
Every Beck album is a completely new genre.
Yeah.
And either you like that genre or you don't, and then, you know, whatever. But
yeah.
It's, you just gotta know what you're in for.
But alternatively, all the rap features on Plastic Beach, I love them all.
Mm.
So I don't know. It's all different.
I'm still waiting for the new Throbbing Gristle album to drop. So when that happens, I will discuss music. And until then, you cannot consider me a pleb.
Oh shit.
Okay.
Oh shit. Mm.
What's this Avatar and the Rock shit?
I wanted to bring this. I wanted to bring this up. They opened up Avatar Land, or it's not open yet, but people have been in there. Like journalists have been in it.
Okay.
Over in Florida, and there's videos leaking out now. Have you seen any of that stuff, Kevin? Or are you not looking?
I don't look. I'm gonna see it at some point. I can't spoil it for myself.
Well, I looked. I went ahead. I was like, you know, I was there. I was there. Yeah.
Who fucking cares?
I checked it out. I'll probably go back at some point to see it, but I didn't know when that was going to be. So I checked it out. And it's funny. You can, first of all, what they did, unsurprisingly, what they did a good job with. But you definitely see where the confidence lies in Disney in that versus Star Wars. You can I get this feeling that what's there is very high quality, but it's all kind of cut short. It's all like they signed the deal for Avatar before they got Star Wars,
right?
So you can tell that they were like, yeah, we're gonna do this, wait, we got Star Wars, fuck, done. It's all very kind of like short, like, oh, okay, oh, this is all there is, all right, kind of, you know. But what's there is great.
I just don't think, I really don't think anyone gives a shit about Avatar, and
no.
I don't think they will when the movie comes out in 2020. No one cares.
Yeah, and I to that I would say as well, there's a lot of talk that behind the scenes, resort stay, you know, because it's opening for the summer.
Right.
There has not been any surge in like hotel stays or tickets or anything. They said this is like
shit.
All these analysts are saying like this is purely on a, I'll check it out. If I'm there, basis. Like, no one's going, fuck, we gotta go. Avatar Land's open. Now, will you be that? Will people be that way for Star Wars? Hell yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta go to Disneyland this summer. Star Wars Land is open. You know, they will definitely do that, but nobody, yeah. But what I wanted to say was, so they have like a kind of a thrilling ride. I don't know if anyone's done that yet or there's no video or what, but there's a boat ride that's just a relaxing boat ride through the jungle of, you know, of that Pandora, whatever. And it all looks really good. There's one animatronic. There's only one animatronic in the ride. Like, there's a lot of other stuff.
Okay.
But there's only one animatronic, like, blue person in it.
Nice.
And again, it just kind of looks cut short.
There's only one Navi.
Exactly. But that animatronic, oh my God. You've never seen anything like it. When people go through it the first time, and it's on video, people are like, is that an actor? Is that a projection? What is that? Oh my God. Oh my God. It moves so fluidly. It's like interacting with the plants and stuff. Whoa. It looks, oh fuck. It looks, it's just going all over the place. So you have to look up that clip of that animatronic. You've never seen anything like that. And I guess they have another animatronic that's in the queue or in the line or something like that. And it just looks unbelievable. It looks absolutely unbelievable.
You remind me of something completely different. Mm. Speaking of animatronics, you got to look up. Y'all heard of this blowjob machine?
I saw a video of it. I saw it on Facebook. Yeah. I have
you heard
that.
Of this?
Well, I mean, people have called me.
Oh, fuck.
But what? No, what is it?
There is a new blowjob animatronic. It is basically a pump with
a fake hydraulic.
It's a hydraulic. You have to look up this video. It's a hydraulic metal looking like footstool that goes up and down, and there's a suction cup at the end of it. But it comes with a wig, so you can put a wig on it and throw a jacket over it, and it looks like a person performing fellatio.
It's about time.
So they said that this thing could just sit in your living room, and it just looks like a piece of art, or like you would make it ottoman.
Yeah.
But as soon as anybody leaves, this thing becomes the suck knot you've always wanted.
How many suck knots does it have in terms of power?
Well, they said that there's a valve on it, so you can plug the valve with your finger to get to increase the suction.
Someone showed here's slow speed, okay, and they showed fast speed, and it's like this thing will rip someone's dick off 100%.
Yeah, and you can't. But 100%. Here's the thing. But there are going to be people who use it at that setting nonstop. And then good luck if you ever meet a woman, because you're going to be expecting
if you have to buy that.
Yeah, well, but if you ever, like level up, you know, you do that enough, you level up. It's like grinding in an RPG.
Yeah.
And then you're ready to meet a woman. Yeah. You're not going to be satisfied because you're going to be like, where's that table vice grip at 300 miles an hour?
That's right. And then.
This isn't 20 suck knots.
Also, too, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but then when the woman is your finish, you got a person there you got to entertain. This thing. Throw the wig off, throw the jacket away.
Kick it back in the
queue. It's back to being an ottoman, and I'm back watching The Walking Dead like nothing happened.
So
anyways,
pros and cons. Well,
good week for animatronics.
I'm just saying
all around.
I'm just
good week for animatronics.
Dicks will be lost in this machine.
But you know, but then I'm gonna throw it back. Is that really the end of the
not for me.
No, I mean, no, I'm talking like one of these guys buys this machine, it rips their dick off. Hey, you played with fire, buddy. Sometimes you gamble and lose.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
But anyway.
I'm just thinking. You're the guy who has to tell people not to get this machine. Yo, I know it sounds like a dream come true, but this thing literally sucked my dick off.
Yeah, no one will believe you.
And it can happen. And it can happen to you.
And you will be blown away.
You will be blown away.
Anyways, good mental image.
Anyway, that Avatar animatronic was awesome. If they could get that, if they could fuse the two, do some transmetal shit.
What happens when you throw a jacket over that Navi?
Yeah. She starts tugging at different stuff.
We're awful people.
Sorry.
I just want to say.
Yeah.
I know we're awful.
You know what? Delete us. Hey, to bring it back around. But anyway, a lot of the stuff, I just want to say the reactions to the animatronic Avatar thing. All the reactions I've seen has not been, oh, fuck yeah, Avatar rules. It's all been, well, now I'm excited for Star Wars Land. Seriously, because you see how good it is, and everyone's just saying, well, so that was their experiment. It worked. Yeah. It looks like a living, I can't say it enough. It looks like a living, breathing being. So now you have your proof. Well, all right, the creatures of Star Wars are real. They right. will be real right. in this new thing. It's going to be amazing.
That's cool.
So anyway, so that was cool. The reason I brought up The Rock in our notes here, I wrote The Rock, is because then there was drama because The Rock was posting about that and some other stuff. He posted about how... speaking of, Disney World and other stuff, he's producing a Jungle Cruise movie. He keeps saying, oh, yeah, I'm in it. I'm going to be in it. I'm going to produce it. He was seen at the Jungle Cruise.
Oh, my God.
At Disney World. He was, like, riding it. He's like, I'm just getting experience. I'll be your skipper, you know, and he was trying to learn all about it. And then he mentioned in his Instagram post, yeah, I went to they let me in the Disney vault. It was a literal vault. I got to see, here's the map that they used to sell to the bankers what Disneyland was. I mean, it was really cool stuff. Uh-huh. And he's like, yeah, and get this, Imagineers are going to help me rip out all the existing Jungle Cruises so we can put one in that's based on my new movie.
Oh, fuck.
Needle what? Drop. I've never seen, in the Rock's career, I've only seen Twitter and all these things love him. And then you saw it. All these nerds came out of the I was one of them. I'm not talking shit. Came out of the woodwork like, what the fuck did you just say?
Yeah.
How can you get rid? That is like a classic.
Yeah, it's a classic
ride.
Yeah.
And I think people are fearful, you know, what they did with this Tower of Terror thing. But the Tower of Terror has only been there since 2000 something.
Right.
Jungle Cruise. A 1955 ride.
Yeah.
I'm putting this call out. The Rock, if you're watching this podcast.
Which he is.
Steer the boat around. Steer the Jungle Cruise boat around. It's not too late. Because, man, I would hate... He's going to have a lot of haters if he goes through with that.
Listen, I love The Rock. I love The Rock.
You like what he's cooking?
I smell what he's cooking. I like it. But what kind of world do we live in where The Rock needs to ride the Jungle Cruise to get acting experience? What the...
Life experience.
What is that actor going to learn from the 6-minute tour around the Jungle Cruise? What could any actor take away stepping off that boat that would improve a performance?
Do you want to honestly know what he learned?
Oh, the rhinos pokes people in the butt. The backside of water? What the fuck that is?
Do you want to honestly know why he did it?
What?
It doesn't matter why he did it!
And the idea that, like, he's producing the movie? He has to... The Rock has to pay money to be in the Jungle Cruise movie. Disney can't afford to make a Jungle Cruise movie without The Rock paying to be in it.
I was obviously upset hearing about that, which, by the way, you know, all you guys who go to game days, you know how much fun we have on the Jungle Cruise. You know, Steve from the UK doesn't know it's supposed to be serious or not, so he's confused. Everyone's laughing. It's a great time. If you don't want him to rip it out, let him know on Twitter. But anyway, that's besides the point. I will say on the other side of the coin, I don't think that's really going to happen. I think The Rock is excited, and they were telling him all kinds of stuff, and he just wrote about it. The movie doesn't have a director yet. I mean, it doesn't, like, I don't honestly think that's going to happen. There, if you look back, I got a memory like a steel trap. I remember a lot of useless stuff.
He does.
Jennifer Tilly talked about they're going to put her in the Haunted Mansion as Madame Leota because she was in the movie. It didn't happen. So... You know, Jennifer Tilly, The Rock, they might be smelling the same thing cooking, right. You know, and his Instagram is jokey,
bullshit,
as Camille Ling said in the chat. So who knows? I honestly think it's going to happen, but make sure it doesn't because Disney's been, they've been shysters lately.
You say The Rock is all jokey on social media. Who was the first man on earth to know Osama bin Laden got shot?
That's true.
It was The Rock. Okay. When The Rock says something, he fucking knows.
He knew about that. Actually, I forgot about that.
And what the fuck happened
there? Mine like a steel trap.
And then the second person who knew, us. And we showed it on the podcast. We get credit.
We get credit.
Hey, I was just thinking about that the other day. What's the next bad guy that America's going to kill?
It's been boring lately.
Who are we going to celebrate? We got Saddam. We got Osama. Who's next?
The podcast question of the week.
Who's next?
Yeah.
America, look, if I was America, let me just say, my trigger finger is so itchy right now. What are you laughing at?
The chat, someone said, Sean hasn't made any good jokes tonight, which I just found really amusing.
That's true.
You know, email, who's next? Email podcast at mega64.com. Maybe it's the Kim Jong-un or whatever. Could be.
Maybe. Maybe it's Edward Snowman.
Edward Snowman. Yeah, that guy fucking leaked everyone's stuff.
Yeah.
But I want to say, you know, we tell you guys to email us. I never read the emails on the podcast.
No.
So wrapping. We're going to end right now. I just want to say thanks for last week's email.
What was the question last week?
Well, we don't have time to repeat all that. So I'm just going to say that's awesome. 134 pounds. That's not bad. Nick isn't a chick, but 230 pounds. And another one that's 130. That's not bad. Anyway, thanks, everybody.
And if you think this podcast should fucking continue, then you can just delete me. Good night.
If you think Sean was funny tonight with that whole shtick,
I wasn't just funny me right now. I've never right been now. Funny on the podcast. Just I never said right I was going to be funny on the podcast. I'm just here to be here. Special guest, thank you.
Who's your favorite, and who do you hate the worst out of the three of us? And it's okay to say that you hate Sean.
It's okay. That's okay. I would say Sean too.
Delete this.